Okay, hello everyone. I'm sorry about the audio on this one. For some reason, the lead that goes into the computer got pulled out and I didn't notice. So it was recorded on the internal mic. So
You really messed this one up!
I messed it up, apparently. But I didn't, because it's...
You did!
See? So apparently we're moving.
My life is over!
We're moving in a van by the river now because of this.
In a van down by the river!
So.
That's all we'll be able to afford!
There's gonna be no more podcasts after this because of this problem.
Because you didn't plug the damn lid!
I did! It was plugged in! I just wasn't all the way in!
That's what he said.
Oh.
Welcome to the Laura Clary Podcast. It's a podcast with Laura Clary. Welcome to the Laura Clary Podcast.
Yes, hello.
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 How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you? Very good.
Hello, how are you? That's my moves impression.
That's a good
hello. How are you?
Hello. How nice to talk to you both.
Isn't it?
It's lovely, yeah.
Well, that's very nice.
Where we are.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's nice to hear from you. So you're going to the countryside. You're going to the seaside.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, that's my battery.
We've got all sorts of things lined up.
It was coming.
Yeah, Edward's coming.
My Uncle Edward's going.
And Julie.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a lovely time, really, yeah. So just for a few days, so get away from everything.
Yeah, well, that would be nice.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Do you want to say hello to our podcast listeners? Because you're on the podcast.
Steven.
Oh, no.
Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone, on the podcast.
Yeah,
we're talking to you from Kent in England.
We're talking from Kent, Faversham in Kent in England, which is on the south coast, an hour outside of London, which is where I was born.
Oh, no, we're on the podcast. Oh dear.
Yep, you're on the podcast. I was pleased when you rang, we were just about to record, so I just hit record.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, it's good. You're gonna be on it. You'll have to work out how to actually listen to this one.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can listen to it though.
Yeah, you can download it from iTunes or anywhere. Some of them are a bit rude though.
Yeah, but I'm used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm all about that. You know, it's normal for you.
Yeah, maybe don't listen to episodes 15, 14, 13. No, I'm only joking.
You don't need to listen.
Last week, Laura told.
I'm surprised by anything.
Last week, Laura told everyone to not listen to our podcast.
Well, it's funny.
You are.
Last week, Laura told everyone to not listen to our podcast, and here's why.
What?
You said it's funny because...
Oh, no, I was just saying, I would say when Stephen and I were together for the first year, and we all went out for Indian one night, I'll never forget, and I was really trying to impress
you. Oh, yeah, well done.
I know, I was trying to impress
them. By stealing things.
And be like, oh, she's such a nice, wholesome girl who never swears. And I remember I said, oh, yeah, you know, I have no tattoos. I don't have piercings and I have no tattoos. And I thought that was going to score me points with you, Moobs. And then you said, well, that's a bit boring. You said, well, that's a bit boring. pool ring, and I was like, oh shit, I'm playing my cards all wrong.
Oh yeah. But then you tried to steal all the cutlery from the Indian restaurant.
Yeah, then I
did.
Yes. Put the salt shaker in my purse.
You put a salt shaker in your purse.
Yeah, and then they left.
And you have to apologize to the waiter.
Yes.
That's right.
Well,
that's a bit boring. That's a bit boring.
Especially to pick it up.
So what time is it there now? It's 10 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock, yeah.
And what have you been doing today?
Packing and clearing up and getting ready to go, really.
Huh.
Jingle's been sorting out his clothes.
Oh.
So Moons.
As he can well.
So Stephen's mom, or we call her Moobs.
Yeah, I called her that for years.
Right, her nickname. And she organizes trips. And you've been doing this for how long?
I've been doing it for 20 years.
And so basically, could you describe what you do in it so they know?
I just organize trips for people in the town. And we go on days out, and we go to theatre, and 2 holidays a year.
Ooh.
And it's nice, because we take about 50 people each time, and we just go out for the day and just have a good time. As long as there's plenty to eat and drink, they all come.
So what's the craziest thing that's ever happened on one of your trips?
Oh, my God. But once we left 2 people behind, we couldn't find them. We've been to London to watch what they call the beaching of the retreat, some royal thing. And we asked them to be back in Trafalgar Square at a certain time in the evening. And when we got on the coach, they were nowhere to be seen.
Right.
Oh. Everybody else was back on the coach except these 2 people.
Right.
We had no contact number for them. After waiting for half an hour, we decided that we would go because it was unfair on everybody else.
You left them?
We left them. Well, we didn't know what to do, so we left them. And I was worried about it all night, wherever these people were gone.
Right.
2 ladies, 2 sort of elderly ladies. And at 8:30 in the morning, I got a phone call to say, we probably got home before you, because we couldn't find the coach, so we went back on the train.
Oh, they didn't tell you?
No, they didn't phone me or tell me or anything. One and only problem we've had.
Wow.
What about the...
Oh, yeah, somebody died.
What about that?
They didn't actually die on the bus.
Oh, my God.
They fell over and hit their head.
Jesus.
And we got the ambulance out to him, and he died on the way to hospital.
Oh, my God.
I know. So it was... had to have the police involved because it was considered to be a road traffic accident.
Oh, wow. My God. Now, my Uncle Edward's coming with you this time.
He is coming, yes.
Now, he's an interesting character, isn't he?
Wait, is his wife
very
coming?
Is Julie coming?
Is Julie coming?
Julie's coming as well.
Well, is he gonna walk a mile ahead of her?
Is he going to walk a mile ahead of her?
Probably.
He did that when we were in Faversham. He did that. He was walking miles ahead.
Well, he'll sit at the back of the coach and she'll be in the front.
I bet that will happen.
They get on all right. They're good company. They tolerate each other.
Oh, well, that's good.
From a distance.
Yeah,
it's
a good laugh anyway.
Yeah, you have fun. You always have fun, don't you, on those things?
We do, yes, we do.
Mm.
You're always a bit nervous, aren't you? It's going to go according to plan, aren't you?
Yeah.
But it will. It will go according to plan.
Yeah.
Because I've arranged it.
Affirmations.
Yes,
affirmations.
Affirmations.
Oh, nice. Are you doing those?
You are doing
affirmations. Yes, I do affirmations.
See, I told you they'd keep doing them. I knew it.
That's so cool.
Laura told my mum and dad about affirmations in 2016 or 15, and they've been doing them about things, and it's working.
That's so awesome. Yeah, it's like, it's pretty amazing how the power of positive thinking, but you're so, Moobs, you're, and Dingle, you guys are so naturally positive. You really do have a really good positive outlook on life. It's really amazing to watch.
Well, you've got to be positive. No good being otherwise.
Nope.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
So how's Oliver? Oh my gosh, people are obsessed with Oliver. Like,
it's crazy.
We got him a bag, you know, because he won't walk, so... We'll do a walk every morning, and we got him a bag, and he sits in the bag, and we walk down the hill and up the hill and in the bag, and people just lose it.
They do.
Him. It's so crazy.
You should get him a pushchair.
I know, right?
Somebody we know.
There's a lady in this town, this sort of where we live. She's got a pushchair for her dog, a special one.
Yeah, you can get those. Yeah, we know someone that has that, but. And the bag's good as well, but yeah, it would be easier.
Is that, you mean like a stroller? Like
yes,
a baby
you mean, that's
stroller?
What a pushchair is, yeah.
Oh, stroller, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Then we just look like those super crazy dog parents who are in desperate need of a child, and so they just like pretend their dog is their child.
Can you put some sensors on the front of him?
No, I mean, he's all right though. He just doesn't like to walk. He doesn't like when you try and take him for a walk with his leash. He won't have it. He gets nervous and he won't move.
He
won't.
Yeah.
He will not move.
But it's so funny. Wherever we take him, like I took him to the vet the other day, and about six vets came out just to see him. It was crazy.
Aww.
Well, Stephen went to the optometrist. The other day, he was recognized. The people who worked there watched the videos, and they were freaking out.
Oh my god, they were as well. I went to get my eyes tested, and everyone in the optician knew our videos.
Really?
Yeah. It's always funny because you think, which ones have they watched?
Yeah.
But that was a good comment about that lad,
wasn't it?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, the homeless kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's asked to be a moderator on our group, and they interviewed him this morning, and he passed with flying colours. So he's now a moderator.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, we've got the he asked to be a moderator just to look after our group, and the head moderator sort of interviewed him. She does that with everyone. And she said he's brilliant, and he's got a job moderating our group now on Facebook.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
What's a moderator?
Moderator is someone that just keeps the group nice and makes sure no one's posting weird things. Because we've got a fan group now. It's called Help Helen Smash Group, and it's like a fan club, but it's online.
Oh.
And there's like 100,000 people in there, so. It can get a little crazy if there's no one there overseeing it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
Well,
excellent.
So there we go.
Yeah.
So we give you a call when we get back.
Yeah, enjoy your holiday.
Yeah, let us know how it is.
Very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it'll be up on Monday. You'll be able to hear it.
Okay.
Love you both.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Love you guys.
Bye.
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 Oh, they're so funny.
Stephen has the sweetest parents ever.
They are so funny. They just do their own thing, but they're sad. They are very positive. They're more positive now than they. I think they always were pretty positive, but they're way more positive. In their older years.
Yeah, so I just talked to my mom on the phone. Well, actually, we were on speaker with Stephen and I. And mom, it was so funny because my sister is a high school math teacher and she's teaching summer school. And apparently she was in class and she heard, inhale, tighten it, exhale, release. Inhale as you tighten it, exhale, release. And she knew right away that one of the students was watching my Kegel video. If you guys haven't seen it, I did a sketch on Instagram and Facebook where I taught people how to do Kegels, which are vagina exercises. And so it wasn't like terribly inappropriate, but anyway, my sister heard it being watched by one of her students in summer school, and they didn't know because my sister has a different last name because she's married.
Oh, yeah.
And so they don't know that that's my sister, and they were watching my video, and Tracy, like, went over to them, like, what are you guys watching? And they were like, nothing. But she knew that it was. I was like, I can't believe she wasn't like, that's my sister.
It's got to be tempting, hasn't it?
It has to be tempting. Like, how could you not be like, dude, that's my sister?
I wouldn't be able to hold it together.
Yeah, but I mean, she's, you know, a teacher, and they were watching my shit. And so that's not technically allowed when you're in class to be watching Instagram videos, especially about pussy exercises. So anyway, my mom's telling me that story. And then she's like, I was like, did you like the Kegel video? She's like, yeah. And I was like, I was like, yeah, mom, I'm doing them right now. And she's like, actually, so am I. And then what did she say that was so funny too? And Steven was just like so uncomfortable because my mom and I were talking about Kegels together and how we were doing it.
Something about, you both said you were doing them, and that
was
a bit
weird. And then I was like, mom, like, people would come up to me, like, we go to this cafe every morning, and the manager came up to me, this woman, she's like, I was expecting the close-up crotch shot, I was expecting your vagina to move.
Oh!
And then my mom's like, so was I.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that was funny, but, yes, so, okay, so we have a big week coming up, like, it's crazy, but I will say, you know, we've had ups and downs since we started this podcast with our videos and, you know, everything. But I would say right now, it's just insane. We're having like one viral video after the other, and it feels really fucking good. And I just have to remember that this kind of stuff comes in waves. And, man, it's really, we're on a, please help yourself, Steven. We're just really on an amazing wave right now.
Yeah.
Like, every video we're posting is going viral, like, we're growing so much. It's just incredible. It feels so good to have your ideas. Really, what I think it is, Steven and I were talking about this, is it luck? You know, what is it? And I really believe that we're doing our purpose. We found our purpose and we're doing it. We're just doing what we're supposed to be doing, and it's really connecting. And it feels really good. It just feels right. It feels like we're doing the right thing. We're making these videos and they're connecting with people. Yeah, it feels good.
It does, no, but I mean, it took a while. Like, it didn't happen straight out the gate that people all loved it. I mean, it took us a little year of doing them.
Did you see me eyeing the...
Yeah, I did. That's why I put it back. I've got the evil eye of Diabolos.
Steven took my smoothie and I was giving... But no, it was because you were putting your fingers there where I put my mouth.
Yes, but my fingers and your mouth are in contact.
No, they're not.
Well, they... I didn't mean that. I meant, like, they're linked.
What?
It's good to get...
What were you saying about the video? We need to finish thoughts for people. They're probably so frustrated with this.
But the videos, yeah, it took us. It wasn't just like, oh, everyone loves our videos. We had to do a lot of trial and error to get to the point where now people love. But now we're on a roll. At the moment, we're on a roll. But it took us a while of making videos. Like, it wasn't just doing your purpose. There was work involved as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. I mean, the first year that I started doing videos, like, nobody watched and nobody cared.
Yeah.
And I was doing my purpose. But yes, I'm at this point right now where our ideas are connecting on a big scale, and it just feels really good.
It really does.
But the key is to, even when videos are not connecting, or the reach is not there, or we're not feeling creatively connected, and we're not... whatever it is, like, to be okay regardless and to have a good spiritual practice and know that we're enough regardless of what's happening externally, I think is something that is so important, because it can feel really fucking good when it's easy to be happy when things are going well, but how can we maintain that peace of mind, that inner peace and well-being when things aren't necessarily going well? That's the thing that we have to keep in the forefront of our mind, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been, and we're about to get to, I just thinking, if we say finish the thought, we should probably explain, we didn't explain that the boy that my mum was talking about, and she was like, oh my God, what an amazing comment you had. There was this kid who messaged us yesterday and said that it was an amazing message. He was homeless from 2016 to 2017. No, sorry, 2017 to 2018. He dropped out of school and he was homeless, but he was still watching Helpless Smash for Laura's videos all the way through. And he said...
why he dropped out.
Yeah, right. But he said that watching the videos gave him strength to go back to school, and he just graduated last week, and it was just the most incredible message to get.
Yeah.
Such an amazing, it's just, that's something very funny to me when we get messages like that.
I know, it's because, so I mean, the power of comedy, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it just, for him, it lifted his spirits enough to say, okay, you know, I can do this, you know, because when you're happy and you're laughing, all of a sudden, you know, life is a little easier to navigate.
Yeah.
Rather, when you're in this dark, heavy space and then you let it take you fucking under, which can happen too, and you see it all the time, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade, they you know, and so many others let the darkness take them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to just, I just never want to get to that spot, I think, because I know, like, we both struggle with, you know, that depressive, anxious side, and to just be aware of that, and just, we don't ever have to get there. We don't ever have to go to the dark side, but you don't have to stay there.
I read this incredible, I listened to this incredible book over the last 3 days, and it's called Lost Connections. And it's by Johan Hart, and it's all about depression. And the book starts with him saying he was on antidepressants for 15 years and he was taking them every day. And he was like, wait a minute, these aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still depressed. I've been taking them for 15 years. I'm still depressed. What's going on? And then the doctor switched him over to another antidepressant and he was fine for like a month. And then he was like, wait, I'm depressed again.
Mm-hmm.
Switched him again, worked for a month. Wait, I'm depressed again.
Mm.
Why am I taking this? And being like, works for a month and then I'm depressed again.
Yeah.
And the whole book is, he basically starts off by going through the history of antidepressants. But he says if they work for you, take them. But the history of how they make them and the amount of people that they help, versus the amount of people that get lifted by the feeling that they're going to be helped, the placebo effect. It's an incredible book. If anyone wants to know about... Well, I don't really want to say what he said, because people who were taking him that they were.
No, this is... You're not speaking for everyone.
No, I'm just saying his book.
This is the author's perception.
His perception was, okay, I'm going to stop taking these and I'm going to look at my life. I've got this feeling that my life is making me sad. I'm not depressed, and it's not... Basically, he goes through this thing about serotonin. They say you've got an imbalance, a chemical imbalance. He basically says that he started to not believe it.
Okay.
Then he did some research about the link between serotonin and depression and found out that it's not necessarily true.
Wow.
And lots of doctors were doing tests on people, and they don't believe in this chemical imbalance thing. But the chemical companies really suppressed all that, and they only released the information for the people that were helped, which is a very small percentage of people. The percentage of people that actually get helped by antidepressants, according to this book, is tiny.
Mm.
And
Wow.
His argument is that it's not chemical, it's life that makes you sad. Because, and you'll love this, not being connected to other people, not doing things that give you joy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 9 things.
Wow.
Being happy in your work.
Wow.
Feeling empowered in life. Feeling like your decisions make a difference.
Mm.
Having a community.
Mm.
I can't remember all the things, but it's basically he went back and tweaked these things in his life, and it really helped him. So he realized that in other cultures they don't have this depression thing that we do have in the West so much. And he traveled all around. It starts off, he was traveling through all countries. He was a journalist, so he traveled through all these countries. The book starts off with he's in Hanoi in Vietnam. He sees this great apple, this amazing apple, and he's really hungry. It's a red, beautiful apple, and he really wants the apple. He's in Vietnam, so he buys the apple, goes back to the hotel, eats the apple. The next day, he's off interviewing for a article he's writing, and he gets incredibly food poisoned. The room's spinning, and he falls over, and he's basically, he got such an intense case of food poisoning that his liver almost gave up.
Okay.
Because of all the pesticides they use on the
fruit. Who is this? Sorry.
The author.
Okay.
That's how the book starts.
Okay.
So they rush him to hospital.
Right.
The doctor is like, he might die. This is such an incredibly bad case, and he's not used to the food. His liver's given up. So it's hit and miss what's going to happen here. And the author's like, please just help me. Just stop me feeling sick. Just take the nausea away. I can't stop feeling sick. Just please, just anything you can do to stop me feeling sick. And the doctor in Vietnam's like, no, we're not going to give you anything for the sickness. The sickness is giving us clues to what your problem is.
Whoa.
If we take away the symptom, we won't get the clues to solve what's wrong.
Wow.
So they wouldn't stop him feeling sick,
yeah.
And they cured him. And he came back and he said he had this feeling, maybe depression is like that sickness.
Right.
It's showing me something.
Wow.
And the whole book is basically this depression epidemic is life saying to us, consumerism doesn't make us happy. This road we're going down of must work all the time, 50 hours a day to get status symbols, to prove to other people that we're useful, is like his food poisoning sickness. It's
wow.
making us sick as people.
Mm.
And the depression is a cause, and we shouldn't be trying to get rid of it. We should
mm.
be going, why is everyone depressed?
Yeah.
And we don't have connections with other people anymore. We live online. We speak through chat rooms. So there's no physical connection. A lot of people feel that like they have no power in their life. So they feel that like they make no difference, which is a huge... People who have jobs where they just don't feel like they're heard and have ideas, but no one takes their ideas on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge recipe for being depressed. Working, overworking, and not having time with your family. All these different things, he thought. But so there was one last story I'll tell you. There was a guy in Asia, and he stepped on a landmine, and he was a farmer, and he had his legs blown off, completely off, so he couldn't do his job.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into himself and went into his house and didn't come out, and he got depressed, and all the village, because the village all looked after each other in this town.
Right.
The village were like, there's something wrong, he hasn't come out of his house. We need to give him, and he was depressed. He had all the symptoms of being depressed. He was isolated. He didn't want to talk to anyone. He had no self-worth. And everyone was like, well, you know, he's lost his legs. He's depressed.
Right.
He needs antidepressants.
Mm.
And the village was like, no, we're going to buy him one cow. He lost his farm because he couldn't farm anymore. We're going to buy him a cow so he can look after the cow and start farming again. And this cow changed his whole perception. He'd lost his depression. He felt like he was meaningful in the world.
Yeah.
He was doing his purpose. He was connected with the village again. And within a year, he was out of his depression, even though he'd lost his legs.
Right.
So the book's basically, it's other solutions that this guy has found for depression that's not medication related.
That's incredible.
It's a really good book if anyone's interested.
Really incredible. I remember early on in our relationship, we really disagreed over depression.
Yes.
And what it was.
Yes.
And I refused to accept that people were just depressed for no reason, that I refused. And that infuriated you.
Yeah, well,
because you felt like...
I was told by doctor after doctor after doctor, it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yes.
If you're sad for over a certain amount of time, it's depression, take drugs.
Right.
So I believed it.
And whereas my dad taught me, don't listen to doctors.
Yeah.
Well, question doctors.
Yeah.
Just because they, someone in a white coat tells you doesn't mean that they're necessarily correct. You know, unfortunately in America, we do have a corrupt healthcare system. And so there is sometimes a motive that's not always pure, and with the pharmaceutical companies. And so, you know, for me, growing up in America, I did always question, okay, they're so quick to just say, oh, you have high blood pressure, well, here's a pill for that, rather than getting to the root cause of your high blood pressure. Why don't we figure out why you have high blood pressure, like you were saying? If we just... you know, cure the symptoms, then we're not going to get to the root cause of, okay, maybe I need to cut down on red meat and cut down on sugar and drink more water or whatever it is. But instead, they just give you a pill to regulate it.
Yeah.
So the answer is very much in a pill here, and it's a $1 billion industry.
But the amount of people that commit suicide are on antidepressants when they kill themselves is huge.
Right.
And also the amount of people
that
kill themselves with antidepressants is big. So it says
that
it's not working.
Yeah. It's so baffling to me that there are antidepressant commercials on that say side effects are suicidal thoughts. To me, that is the most absurd thing I've ever fucking heard in my life.
But even this, the author of this book says, if they work for you, keep taking them.
Exactly.
So if they work, then do it. But one
last
thing.
We're not saying get off your antidepressants.
No.
If they work for you, great. If they don't, like, hey, there's this book that you could read that might help you.
And there's this one thing, I just finished the last thing about this book. There's his thing about connection. Here's a really amazing thing. He discovered that one of the best ways is for two people for a group of people to be together helping each other. He said that was a big cause that they discovered that's a big depression reliever. But if you're with someone but you're not talking about anything that matters to you, it doesn't make any difference to depression. You can be with a large group of people. If you're talking about stuff that doesn't matter, small talk won't make you less depressed. Or if you're in a relationship with someone where you are taking from them, you're not giving anything. There isn't give and take.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in hospital and there's a nurse looking after you,
right. That
relationship won't cure depression because it's one way.
Okay.
It has to be two people or more
have
in a relationship where they're both discussing things that matter. That's the key to feeling...
Meaningful conversation.
Well, it made me think of an AA meeting. It's exactly what happened
right.
in an AA meeting. A group of people get together and they all talk about something that they all value, which is their sobriety.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that, for me, whenever I go to an AA meeting, I've never been depressed in an AA meeting.
Right, because it's a sense of community and connection. You have meaningful conversations. It's also one person helping another person.
Yeah.
So it like ticks all the boxes of what relieves depression.
For people that don't have a program after reading this book, I'm like, how are they going to get that connection? But I guess you can
groups. A lot of people have communities.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't anymore. That's the problem.
Right.
They don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But yeah, it's a very interesting book anyway. I've gone for that.
Or just even friends, you know, making a conscious effort to... connect with friends
and talk about things that are really going on.
Yeah. That's so important.
Yeah.
I mean, everything naturally in me says isolate and be selfish and self-seeking. I had to retrain my brain to say, like, in the mornings, God, what can I give today rather than what can I get? And how could I be of service? How could I be of service through my work to family, to friends, to other alcoholics or whatever. That's a conscious thing that I have to remind myself to do every day because I know that it takes away my depression and gets me feeling good. So it's selfish in that respect that I want to feel good and be happy. And there's just these tricks on how to do it. I had no idea that community was so important, that being of service and giving... Just any, like, whenever you see a homeless person, give them money, like, buy them food, you know, something, talk to them. Like, that is, so that fucking helps tremendously.
Yeah. Also, diet is a big one as well.
Oh, did they
eating
say that?
Eating healthy. Yeah, I think you mentioned that, yeah.
Wow.
Exercise, stuff like that. But mainly it's, you know, doing something you're happy with, feeling like you've got power in your life, having a community.
What about gratitude? Did you talk
gratitude,
about
gratitude, big one. Yeah, yeah.
Because I find it's really hard to be depressed when I'm grateful.
Yeah.
It when I'm in a place.
Apparently, you can't be the two at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm in a place of gratitude, it's nearly impossible to be depressed. When I'm
it's
consciously
true.
Thinking about everything that I have to be grateful for in my life, it's impossible. When I don't do the gratitude and meditation and that, all that stuff, I can be a fucking mess.
What?
I'm self-conscious about putting my lips on the mic now, but I realise that I also like the feeling of it.
Oh.
Feels nice.
Should.
It's like a comfort blanket.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
So
we've got VidCon.
Yeah, I was just going to say about that we got a record a piece to camera as Helen for a live show.
Sorry, guys, if you hear Oliver. He's on my lap.
Guys,
he's
if
so
you
loud.
If you're going to VidCon, Laura's going to be doing a live performance on Friday at the Facebook booth in the main floor on VidCon. 5:30, is it? I think it's
4:30.
But you should check it out, because it's going to be good. There might be a special appearance by someone you like.
Not me.
There might be a special appearance by two people that you like.
So VidCon, how would you describe VidCon, Stephen? And please, have this and done.
VidCon is like, it's really hard to explain. I'm going to Wikipedia it and read it. Well, fill the time then.
How did we acquire so many animals?
Well, we only ever see two of them.
You know what? I don't even fucking know what VidCon is. I mean, basically all the, like, hundreds of thousands of people buy tickets to see their favorite influencers, and there's panels about social media, and basically all the influencers. Go ahead.
It's Comic-Con. It's Comic-Con. Everyone who listens to podcasts knows what Comic-Con is. It's Comic-Con for influencers.
Yeah, but I want to hear what they say it is.
Okay. VidCon. VidCon is a multi-genre online video... It sounds so dry. Multi-genre online video conference held annually in Southern California. Blah, 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 blah,
whoa,
blah, blah.
Whoa, what? That doesn't explain it.
30,000 people every year come to the Hyatt Regency in Anaheim to basically... Which people do, everyone who's big online does, like.
That's what it says?
No, but it's huge, look, and it's really dry and boring. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah,
okay.
I fucking do.
I'm going to read it.
I want to hear it.
VidCon is a multi-genre online.
Be a little more expressive, please.
Held annually in Southern California since 2010. Originally conceived by Hank and John Green of Video Brothers YouTube channel, the convention is the largest of its kind in the world. Gathering hundreds of thousands of video viewers, creators and industry representatives worldwide. In February 2018, Viacom acquired VidCon.
Oh yes, Viacom.
Although the conference remains a standalone subsidiary, its main office in Minnesota, Montana, sharing a building with Complexity.com. Status active.
So basically, still don't know what the fuck VidCon is, okay?
Hyatt Regency Century Club.
So all
and
of the
people. Pension Center.
Okay.
Los Angeles.
You done?
July 10th.
You done?
7 years ago.
You done?
First VidCon was held with.
Why are you being so annoying?
You do it to me all the time! Oh.
Am I really that annoying?
You do that when I'm talking sometimes. Oh.
What?
I love that I do what you actually do to me and you say it's so annoying.
Well, then I guess I'm so annoying. So yeah, man. So we're going to VidCon and I have like a bunch of different panels to do. There's like tons of 30,000 people there, so a lot of fans come and meet and greet and all sorts of stuff, so...
You're doing a panel on women, funny women. You're doing a panel on Facebook, how to be a creator on Facebook. You're doing a live show for Facebook Live. and you're doing something else.
I just decided I don't even give a fuck anymore, but in a good way. Like, I'm choosing not to stress about all the stuff I have coming up. I'm choosing to just not give a fucking fuck.
Guys.
And I'm just gonna fucking go up there and do my stupid fucking performance. I'm gonna do Pamela Pupkin. I'm gonna do a Q&A. I'm gonna have Helen come on. I'm gonna shoot a little pre-recorded thing with Helen. I'm just gonna fuck around and have fun like I'm with my friends. Because you know what? Life's too short to give a fuck.
Ankle bracelet.
Literally, the old me, meaning me yesterday, would have been stressing the fuck out, meaning me yesterday.
Ah.
But the new me,
meaning me today,
is not going to give a fuck. The new me,
meaning me today,
is going to literally just fuck around, have fun, say what's up, be in the moment, and just fucking who gives a fuck. If it doesn't go well, my performance, hey, guess what? Still alive. Still kicking.
What if something explodes, though?
And I die?
What if you get exploded into bits?
Well, then I'm fucking dead, so even
less
to worry
about. And then you won't mind,
yeah. Honestly.
No, that's a horrible thought. Let's
move on.
It's
fine. It's actually all fine.
It's all fine.
So that's what's up, man. We just closed the deal with Facebook for this pilot.
I feel like we've been talking about that on every single episode of the podcast.
Well, now we closed it. This is the
first. It's still not signed!
The deal's closed.
Yeah, it is. I'm only joking.
So it's done.
I'm excited about that. It's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, so we have our first premium show, which is really exciting. Meeting with a big full crew and creator and creator and Steven's composing it and we're both producing it and it's just very exciting.
It's exciting, isn't it? It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The same people that produced Roseanne before it went.
Well, I wouldn't give that as the example.
But
I would
Broad
probably
City.
Say Broad City, Samantha Bee, Amy Schumer. That
Amy Schumer, I always forget about that one. But Roseanne was a big hit before she went crazy. But yeah, so guys, they've moved their live show, but we know where it is. San Antonio is the very first one. Houston is the second one.
You're making out with this mic.
I like it.
I mean, your mouth is just...
Have you not seen 70s rock stars? They all go like...
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, San Antonio and Houston, Texas, August the 20-something, we're going to be there. So keep an eye out.
Yeah, the 20-something, we'll be posting about it the last week of June, but yeah, if you live in Houston or San Antonio, that's where our first show will be. Late
first
August.
One ever. You're going to see the first one ever, first two ever.
First three ever. We might be doing three.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for telling me that. When's the third one going to happen?
Because the one theater is a little smaller, so we might do two nights there. I'm not sure.
Why not?
What is happening?
I don't know.
Oh my God, I'm so incredibly sexually deprived because I had a UTI. And so we haven't been able to fuck. Oh shit, your mom's watching this.
Oh my God.
You said, listen, Mom.
Well, she's going to hear it anyway.
We haven't been able to have sex in, like, man, it's been how long?
I think that we missed it.
Oh my God, it's been like, it's literally been, oh yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was doing it, that caused the problem.
Got a UTI. Got on antibiotics, which I don't like to do, but I tried to cure it naturally and it was not working at all. So I just had to do it. And so I finished my antibiotics on day 7 and then felt totally better. And then that day on day 7 that I finished the antibiotics, we had sex. Next morning, excruciating pain. I called my doctor. I was like, I'm in so much pain. And she's like, did you do anything differently? And I was like, I had sex. She was like, oh, no, no, no. She's like, you have to wait 2 weeks to have sex from the beginning
of your
antibiotic.
She didn't tell us that.
Why wouldn't she tell us that?
So basically,
I didn't know that. So now I was like,
we're back to.
Yeah. I was like, I need more antibiotics. I'm in so much pain. She was like, no, you're just irritated. You have to wait. You have to wait. You have to wait it out. So
we're going to wait 2 weeks.
From when?
From when you called her, which was this week.
When was that?
This week, like Monday.
So now I'm feeling better again and I want to bang it out, but I just feel like we can't.
She said no. And then when we did, honestly, you were in... I don't want to ever see you in so much pain again. That was crazy.
Okay.
That was crazy.
Oh my God, even just the other day I woke up.
Oh, you screamed in my face. Yeah.
Screaming
in students. You woke me. I was asleep with having a lovely dream. I don't even remember.
Oh,
basically.
God,
yeah, you screamed. God. But right into my face.
Did I?
Yes.
I didn't mean to do it in your face.
You did.
Well, here's how bad the pain was. It was in my dream. I had the pain in my dream. And in my dream, I was like, it hurts. And then I woke up from that dream and screamed, it hurts, apparently right in Stephen's face. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I forgive you. No, I'm sorry that you were in so much pain, but it was a big shock waking up like that. I'm going to wake you up like that.
But
you can
ladies,
see what it's like.
If anyone suffers from UTIs, because you either get them or you don't, and I do get them from time to time. So I did find a magical cure, okay? It's called D-Manos, and it's amazing. You can get it from Whole Foods. And apparently it just cleans out your urinary tract, and it's amazing. And if you just take one a day, especially every time you have sex, take one, you're fucking good, man. You won't get them. But I got cocky. I hadn't gotten one of those.
Cocky? You didn't get cocky. That's the problem. But you did get cocky.
I didn't have one in 6 months. And so I got cocky. And so I stopped.
At least you did get cocky.
Okay. And so I stopped taking them. And then I got one. Because we got cocky.
I know. Wait, so that means that our cat, Maggie Kalaki, when she disappeared for a month and we couldn't find her, she came back with a UTI. That means she had sex.
She got cocky.
Oh, she's
no,
so
that,
weird.
That
anyway.
Doesn't mean it. You can get it. From
can you?
Things, yeah. It's weird that a cat can get it, though.
Yeah, she's...
Our cat got a UTI. Yeah. It was sad. She was peeing blood. It was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. And then she did it again when we moved into here.
She gets reoccurring UTIs, just like her mommy.
I got to go and do some music for Predator this afternoon.
Yeah, Stephen's scoring the new Predator.
I'm helping. And, yeah, it's going to be good.
So you're doing that. I'm going to punch up the script. I really just want to shoot tomorrow morning. Honestly.
We need an ankle bracelet. I forgot.
No, we don't.
We do. She's got a... Well, I don't want to give it away.
That's fine. I mean, it's VidCon.
No, but there's also going to be a live show. Forget I mentioned the
no,
ankle
it's
bracelet.
Fine. Podcast listeners get to get
do.
specials. We didn't do a prank this week, guys. I'm sorry about that.
Well, we could do it next week.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Wait, we have to record this before we go to VidCon. Or should we record it in VidCon?
We're going to be there.
Yeah, let's record it at
Saturday.
VidCon.
We can do it when we get home from VidCon, too.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.